Well, welcome to church again this morning. It's wonderful to hear that type of singing. I don't get a chance to have hymns and things like that anymore. So thank you very much. There's such a lot of joy in the way they are sung, and so many lessons that I think we lose in so much of our contemporary songs. So much theology that's within our hymns. But it's great to be in worship, to hear songs and to hear hymns, to catch up with our friends, to connect with God. Perhaps to connect with God in ways that we've done for so many times. We come to this place and we gather with our friends and we connect with God. And as we enter into this season of Lent and following the lectionary, I want you to remember that we worship God not just with the 100 or so people here or thousands of people, but with millions of people around the world. Millions of people around the world are worshiping together this morning. Today's scripture that was read out for us is so well known, the temptation of Jesus. I wonder how you remember that. You've probably heard that passage so many times. What does it conjure up for you? I want to ask you a question, one that every preacher should ask as they get started on writing their message or thinking about their message. What happens right before this story, right before this temptation? Is anyone going to be brave enough to tell me what happens right before this passage starts? Marie doesn't count because she's got a Bible on her. Oh, they can't cheat. What is it? Baptism. Excellent. I'll tell Benji you all got it right. That's right, it's the baptism of Jesus. I'm just going to read the two verses before the section that Marie says. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Isn't this a confronting story? Jesus has just been baptized, and we have heard the voice from heaven say, "This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." And now Jesus is led into the wilderness. And so this was all done, and apparently you're using this artwork over the next 5 weeks of Lent, and it's going to be built on, but it's to represent the wilderness that Jesus will travel through. And I love this idea of the baptism font. But he goes through this wilderness and he has this struggle, and then the temptations start. There is a challenge in understanding our intimacy and our relationship with God. And more so, where do we see God? Benji's theme for this season of his Lent, for this season of Lent, is connected to God. It is a really powerful narrative for us. As Jesus is baptized, we hear the voice of God. It is a powerful image of intimacy with the Father. And then we have this season, this thing of life for 40 days while he's in the wilderness, followed by this influential voice, the influential voice of the tempter, a powerful image of humanity's struggles. I love these bookends. God's powerful image of intimacy with the Father, bookended by this powerful, influential voice of the tempter. What does this image say for you? I look at this baptism font and I'm reminded that we all relate to those mountaintop moments where God expresses love and forgiveness and grace, and we feel so close to God, we feel so connected to God. You think of how many children you've seen baptized in this place and how you felt. Think of how when you've seen the baptism of new disciples, of adult believers who come and want to be baptized. These are mountaintop experiences. These are my favorite types of services. They are a huge encouragement, a reminder of the moment when we felt connected to God. I know very few people here, so I'll pick on Paul because I know him. Paul goes up in the back row there if you don't know Paul. But he, but when he was, imagine in his baptism, if God was to say, "This is Paul, my son. With him I am well pleased." Imagine if we are all to hear those voices. Imagine the encouragement in that. It's a very powerful image. And it's a very encouraging image. And yet I wonder if, like Jesus, in our discipline and our obedience, if when we are as connected to the Father, would we follow him into the wilderness? I believe we all experience wilderness moments or seasons of wilderness. They occur in our daily lives. We do not need to be in the desert. It happens in the city, in our suburbs, and in our workplaces. Moments we are alone and feel lonely. When we're feeling overwhelmed by life, or we're feeling lost, when we're feeling depressed, when we're feeling frustrated, these are moments of wilderness. When we are super busy and everything gets put to the side, that is wilderness. Even when we are being so focused on something and we lose sight of everything around us, that could be seen as a wilderness moment. And they somehow disconnect us from, I'm going to use quotation marks, the normal Christian life, because I don't think there is one. But there's so many times when we think we're not doing what God is calling us to, we realize we're not doing what God might be calling us to. These are wilderness moments for us. And yet, they are all elements of life. So we have this wilderness time, and then there are more voices, the bookends of God's voice speaking to us, the tempter challenging us. Both of these things are a recognition of a different world that we are connected to. Both of these voices say, you are never alone. And there is more for you, that God is active in your life. Over time, we hear this scripture and we start to believe we must be weak if we are tempted. This is not true. Over time, we hear this scripture and believe, I'm in the wilderness, and that is a bad place to be. This is not true. Over time, we hear this scripture and believe, this is a precursor to temptation and ultimately failing. This is not true. Over time, we hear this scripture and believe we are not as strong as Jesus. Well, maybe that is true. But it's not because you do not have what you need to battle the tempter. Jesus went through this time of wilderness because we have these moments in life. And if Jesus went through them, perhaps they are not such a bad thing. Perhaps they are a season in life where we can come to realize our close connection to God, our great need of God. Perhaps it is in the wilderness where we can learn to trust God, to lean into the promises that we hear in Scripture. I love this idea of leaning into God, of leaning into God's promises. Because sometimes they're hard to just take at face value. We need to lean into them. Because God is there and big enough to hold us. Sorry. So we want to learn to trust God and lean into the promises that we hear in Scripture. The wilderness is a place of life, and God is present and active there. And are you obedient enough to believe that? Now, there's lots of writers and authors and people who articulate God's word and much more powerfully and better than me. Dallas Willard is one of those people. And this is a little quote from his that I think is fitting here. God has yet to bless anyone except where they actually are. And if we faithlessly discard situation after situation, moment after moment, as not being right, we will simply have no place to receive his kingdom into our life. For those situations and moments are our life. Now, this imagery of Jesus in the wilderness and he's on this journey, if we are in this journey of wilderness and something goes wrong and I say, oh, I'm frustrated and I'm angry and I'm this, it's not the right time to connect with God. I'm not good enough to connect with God. You're going to miss an opportunity to know God. If you say, oh, I really need to be reading my Bibles every day, and if I don't, well, I'm not really going to be connected to God. I'll wait until I'm perfect and I'm doing it. I'm out in the wilderness at the moment. When I'm not in the wilderness, then I will connect with God. I want to say to you, you are missing out. This wilderness is a place where God is. We enter into a season of Lent, and some of us are going to give up things. Some of us will have disciplines in spiritual areas. And this is a season to notice that God is present and active in the world. And right now is the perfect time for you to connect with God. If it isn't a high moment like baptism, or you've just been on a retreat, or you've just done some sort of study and you're having this moment with God, that is a great time to connect with God. Or if you somewhere between on your journey, it's a great time to connect with God. This image of Jesus fasting for 40 days leaves him hungry. He is weakened. He is his true self. We see Jesus as a man. He is vulnerable. He is in a state of humility. And it makes me wonder, how often are we our true selves before God? How often are we truly vulnerable before God? This story of Jesus in the wilderness and his example of managing temptation is a discipleship narrative. I've never even thought about it this way, and all I got from Benji for this service was, I'm talking about being connected to God, but it made me think differently about the passage. And I see this as a discipleship narrative. Have you ever noticed that we do not like the wilderness? We don't like it. We don't want to go there. We want to stay up on the high moments. We want to stay in the moments of baptism or the retreats or the camps or whatever it is that we do. In the wilderness, we are set face to face with God alone. Our hustle, the way we live, we as Christians tend to live our Christian lives, cannot exist in the wilderness for very long. The wilderness is actually the right place to meet God. It confronts our hustle. I want to ask you to look at your life. Are you someone who likes to be busy? So busy in ministry and good stuff that we have no time to get real with God. Instead, we spend time performing or pretending instead of simply recognizing our actual state of being. That might be you, or it might be me talking about myself. And there's a good chance that's true. In all of our busyness and our stuff that we've got to get done, it's so easy to not get straight with God. Lent challenges us to do that, to put some stuff down and put it aside and let and be humble before God. We rarely talk straight with God. We try to impress God. I've read my Bible 7 times this week, and I've done this and I've done that. Or we pretend to do something. Or we say, I should have done that, or I could have done this. And we try to dodge God in an effort to avoid him, or to get something out of him. Yes, God, I prayed, I read my Bible 7 days this week, but you sort of read it while you're on the bus and you weren't really present with it. You're trying to get one over on God. Why do we do that? Why can we not be real with God? Because coming face to face with God, right where we are, is a humbling and terrifying experience. Jesus did this so well in this passage. This story of wilderness is God showing us that he is fiercely committed to calling us out of the hustle of life, and he wants to meet us in our reality. because he knows it's the only way to make progress in a real spiritual life. Friends, God is our reality. The next part of this story, the next chapter, is temptation. And here is one of the greatest pieces of good news that you can hear if you're feeling tempted, whatever it is that you're tempted by. So I'm hoping I can articulate this well for you. If you even notice the tempter, if you hear the tempter's voice, you are closer to God than you realize. Our natural instinct is to say, I'm being tempted, I'm being tempted, I'm being tempted, and God must be far away. You're actually closer to God than you realize. If you notice and hear a spiritual temptation, the Holy Spirit is working in you. This is good news. Jesus was close to his Father. His intimate connection did not stop him from hearing the call of the tempter. In fact, he heard it. He saw it. He was able to see it for what it was. The gospel does not take our temptations away, but lets you see it for the lie that it holds. I think the Holy Spirit is at work in you if you are feeling tempted. And that is just great news. This narrative of the baptism of Jesus, this high point with God speaking, the journey into the wilderness, knowing our own personal reality with humility and being able to share that, and then the conversation with temptation and the Holy Spirit living in you. This is a process of transformation and discipleship. A process where we give up a piece of ourselves. Can we hand a piece of ourselves over to God? Talk to God about where you are in the wilderness or on your journey and where you want to be. If giving up alcohol or chocolate or coffee or anything helps you do that, if that's what you do in Lent, that is great. Find time in this season to talk with God. Look at where he wants you to trust him. Look at your relationships with others and see the place of trust in it. Could you do that better? Could you develop your listening and your prayer skills and be a disciple who is able to be obedient? If fasting doesn't help you, what challenges you to be a disciple and to be honest with God? How would you find time to be honest with what is going on in your life? And talk to God. How can you be present with God as a humble and authentic self? Perhaps it is to stop doing and meet God just as you are. That might be the most powerful thing I could hear. Stop doing stuff and be present with me. I'm just going to have a drink because it's all a bit fancy, this, isn't it? So Lent is this thing that it's a season that prepares us for Easter, but it prepares us for the Christian life, one in which temptation and evil are very, very real. Perhaps these 40 days of Lent, starting from last Wednesday, are there to say, trust God. Keep your feet firmly planted in that relationship, connected to him. There are simply thousands of things in our world that we can use as a replacement for the tempter, for Satan. You might go back to the book of Genesis and see the snake. You can think of all sorts of activities and things in our world. There are so many things that we might say, this is in place of the tempter. We constantly have choices right in front of us. Even Jesus had the struggle to make these choices. So let me assure you, because you are a Christian, these choices, they're not always easy to make. It's not very assuring, is it? Our choices that we have in life are not always easy. Wouldn't it be great to be able to say, here, group of Christians, here's this six-step simple program that's going to get you connected to God. Here's the six choices you must make, and you'll be good. But that is not life. It's this wilderness journey that is life. Life is a mix of ups and downs, choices and movements, mystery and revelation, rest and craziness, grief and joy. Life is a whole lot of desert with a whole lot of people, with a very, very big God who journeys with us. So look back to your own baptism and hear God's call on your life. Live your life honestly with Him, trusting God that you are enough. All of your grief, all of your failure, all of your stumbles, all of your sin, you are enough. Let repentance become a healthy, exciting, and normal part of your life. This has been, I'm doing this discipleship program at the moment with a group of people from America, actually. And we're trying to make repentance this good thing to do as a Christian. It's a healthy, normal expression of how we be Christians. And that's a whole other sermon for you. You might have to call me back, but let repentance become a healthy, exciting, and normal part of your life. Because in that space, we come face to face with God just as we are. We realize how much God loves us. If you struggle with that and all you hear is the tempter, let me tell you the good news. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. The Holy Spirit is speaking clearly to you and wants to help you make a good decision. There are three positions of life here for us. And the truth and the good news is that God is present and active in every aspect of our lives, whether it is in the high moments of baptism, whether it is in the journey through the wilderness, whether it is when we are being tempted. God is present and active. What a wonderful way to start our journey to Easter, knowing that God is with you and active in your life. May you know the fullness of His peace. Shalom. Amen. So I might just pray, and then we are going to hear the anthem from our choir as well. So let me pray for you. Loving Lord, as we hear your message and we hear your word, may we know your great love for us. May we be honest with the season that we are in, whether it is a mountaintop positive experience or whether we are journeying through the wilderness or whether we are facing temptation. May you make your presence known, and may you call us and help us to make the right decisions. Help us to grow as disciples of your wonderful Son, Jesus. Amen.